Blog Talk Radio.
I want to welcome you back to life, back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me?
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. This is Derek Oliver, and this is D&K Bible Break, and we're on a special time tonight. Normally, we're on at 7, but tonight, we're going to do a special show. We're going to do it at 8 p.m. tonight, prime time. Just to, when you have prime time guests, you want prime time to have everything at a prime time, so that's why we're going to be on at 8 o'clock tonight. I want to thank all those that are joining us on the website, which is www.blogtalkradio.com, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. Now, before I want to say this, because I always say that and people get it confused, Blog Talk Radio is one word. Then you skip a space, Derek, skip a space. I'm sorry. I'm confused myself. I'm sorry, confusing y'all. I'm sorry. It's Blog Talk Radio, one word. Then it's Chaos Talk, Chaos, skip a space, Talk, skip a space, With, skip a space, Derek, skip a space, Oliver. If you do it like that, you'll come right up on the program live. You ain't got to be fishing for it. You don't have to look at all the other programs. It will pop up, and you'll see a white button that says on live. You hit the white button, and you join us. Or you can do the easy way. Just call in at 845-277-9094. And that's on the phone lines, which I appreciate everyone that has been listening to us for the last couple of months. Our numbers are just skyrocketing every week, and I just want to thank everyone for listening to us. Also want to spend a special thanks to our sponsors, the Royal Caribbean, Pizza Hut, Pepsi, Brentwood Publishing, and my new sponsor is Finish Line. So I want to thank all those for sponsoring us and sponsoring our shows. Also, before we get into the show, I want to give you a list of what we got going on. Tonight is D&K Bible Break every Monday, 7 p.m. That's on Mondays. Tomorrow night, Tuesday night, you have Praise Tabernacle Church Bible Study by Bishop Omar Zachary, headed up with his team of elders, deacons, and evangelists will be on every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. So tomorrow, 7 p.m., you want to get a word and a Bible study, tune in to Blog Talk Radio. Call in or tune in. Also, I believe, I don't know if they're doing it this Wednesday night, but Wednesday night service, Praise Tabernacle. I don't know if they're doing it this Wednesday night, but normally on Wednesday night, they'll be on at 7. If not, this Wednesday, the following Wednesday, they'll be on. I got to get clarity on that. Also, Wednesday night at 9 p.m., we have Watchmen on the Wall with Elder George Bizarre. Thursday, just so you know, we're doing a special I Got a Word. Last week, we did it with the men, and we had a great response with no advertising. We had over 2,200 listeners listening in live on I Got a Word with the men. I'm going to do the same thing this Thursday at 6 p.m., but instead of having men, we're going to have five dynamite women preachers give the word. They're going to give the word, and they're going to pass the baton, and we're going to go two rounds and just see what they had to say. Because I'm quite sure the Lord is speaking to the women as well as he's speaking to the men. And Friday night, you have a Praise Tabernacle Church Friday night service with Bishop Omar Zachary and First Lady Pamela Zachary. They'll be on Friday night. You and I do them on Friday night. Please join them at 7 p.m. on Blog Talk. And also you can go to them live on Facebook Live, Praise Tabernacle Church, and you can catch them on live. And, you know, talking about all this, and we have also on Friday night after Praise Tabernacle Church, we have Overseer Timothy Jackson out of Dallas, Texas, have a program on Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central Time. And it's, what is that called, wife? I'm sorry, open mic?
Freestyle Friday.
That's with Overseer Timothy Jackson, and he has another show on Saturday at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I get these times so mixed up, and I'm so sorry. But we have so much going on. Also,
and that's Spiritual Sense Life.
Thank you. Thank you. Help a brother out. Spiritual Sense Life. We got a lot going on throughout the week. And we're just being, I got so much, I can't even keep it contained. This has become a full-time job for me. I'm going to need some help. So I'm going to be looking.
We also have Sunday at 5 p.m.
5 p.m. Sunday?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Elder Bazaar. Okay, 11, let's not forget Praise Tabernacle Church live as well. Sunday morning, 11 o'clock service. And Bishop Omar Zachary, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock service. Come church with us every Sunday, 11 p.m. right here on Blog Talk or Facebook Live.
11 a.m.
And then at 11 a.m. 7 a.m. And also at 5 p.m. on Sunday, we have Watching on the Wall again on Sunday. So we just full of the word over here at Chaos. The Lord then took over. It's supposed to be a crazy show.
Dang,
but the Lord made it into a gospel station. And I thank the Lord for that because
y'all
can not my vision. It's his vision being done, not my will, but his will was being done. But I do have a little chaos in me, so I can cause some chaos. But other than that, I'm going to get started with the show tonight, and I'm going to turn it over to my wife, and she's going to introduce the special guest we have, who's also a member of Praise Tabernacle Church as well. But I'm going to turn it over to my wife, because I'm talking too much. So go ahead, wife. You can take over.
All right. Good evening, everybody. We got a special blessed night tonight. We do have a special guest. She's going to be discussing her book here. Before I go into that, I do just want to give a brief study that I did earlier today, just to give you a little bit of background on kind of like somewhere where the topic is going tonight. So I'm going to just go into it. In 2010, over 253 million prescriptions of antidepressants were given out to people in the U.S. alone. Since then, the number has increased by 30% every year. There is an all-out war being waged on mental and emotional health around the world, and it's time that the church starts talking about it. So we're not only going to be talking about mental issues, we're going to be talking about a great book by evangelist Gwendolyn Soule Stokes, Unrevealed Secrets. And she's going to be discussing different things that she experienced in her life. She has a great book. She's going to outline some key points in her book. This book, I was reading it, and it kind of like brought up a lot of memories and things that I had kept suppressed, I should say. And I was sharing with my husband. I'm like, wow, this book is like bringing back a lot of things that I didn't – you don't know where stuff comes from. You don't realize that traumatic experience that you had, you don't realize that followed you, and that's the reason why you do what you do. So
yeah.
I'm gonna let Evangelist go into the secrets that were revealed. She goes from her childhood, some experiences that she had in her childhood, and it went on into her adult life. So it's a great read, Unrevealed Secrets, Evangelist Gwendolyn Soule Stokes. We want to welcome you to the program on tonight, and I'm just going to let you give us some background on your story, and I guess we'll go into get started in the show. So welcome.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. It's great to be with you guys tonight. I appreciate the opportunity. And God is just so awesome and bad. I tell you, he set things up according to his timetable, and I appreciate that because when he does it, as First Lady preached on Sunday, it's already all right.
Amen.
Yeah, but I'm Evangelist Gwendolyn Sewell Stokes. I was given a prophecy, I would say over 20 years ago, that I would become an author, that I would write a book. And I can say that it was in my spirit. I would just be sitting in places and the power of God would come on me and I would just begin to write. But then going through so many things and different obstacles and different situations and problems that I went through, I allowed the enemy to knock that out of me. And so I lost the interest of writing. I didn't feel like writing. I didn't try to write. I just thought it was a lost thing. I was like, okay, he told me to do it. I didn't do it, so I don't need to try to do it now. It's gone. It's over. I don't miss my opportunity. But how about, praise God, over 25 years later, hallelujah, the Spirit of God spoke to me one morning several months ago and said, write. And as I began to get my pen and pencil and began to write, I began to think about all the things that I went through as a child, because the enemy had used some of those things that I went through as a child to make me make all types of wrong decisions and just had all kind of severe depression. And one of the things was he would always speak to me is your mama didn't want you and your daddy didn't want you. See, because my mom gave me away at the age of 2 years old, and for years I hated her. I didn't understand why she did that, but as I got older and spent more time with my older sister, she said, mama had so many kids, she could not take care of you. So she gave me over to my great aunt at 2 years old, and sometime I would see the dad who said he was my dad 1 minute, and then the next time I said, you're not my daughter, I don't know who child you are. So I always say to people, watch what you say to your children because that stuff sticks in them. And so by being hearing those type things, as I continue to grow up, if you get my book, Unrevealed Secrets, I tell about my uncle that used to come over. And keep in mind, I'm already thinking I ain't no good anyway. No, nobody wants me. So... And I was a little overweight, so nobody wants me. So when my uncle would come, he would always ask for a glass of water. And my mom's house, when you come in, you can go either left or right. Well, to the left was my bedroom, a back bedroom that she rented out to a boarder, and you could go to the left of my room, and you can go right to the kitchen. Or you can come from her room and go to the kitchen. So what I would do, I'm in her bedroom with her and my uncle and all them because we all stand around in there, and he would say, "Can I get a glass of water?" And she was like, "Go get him some water." And I would go in there, just so happy to see my uncle because he was from Detroit, Michigan. He looked good, he smelled good, he rode good. He always looked like he had plenty of money, so we thought he was a king, you know. And so these few times I would go get the water, and all of a sudden he would appear. And when he would appear, I never forget the first time, he grabbed me by my face and he started squeezing on my breast and squeezing on my body. And he took his tongue and just stuck it all in my mouth and it felt so nasty. And I would just say, stop it, stop it. And he would just laugh at me. But he would stop and go on to the bathroom. And I didn't say anything about it that first time. But it got to the point, the more he would visit from time to time, he would always do it until the fact I was fearful in my own home because I couldn't comprehend why is my uncle doing this. But then keep in mind, I'm already thinking this must be something that I'm responsible for. I must be causing this, because my own mama didn't even want me. My dad didn't want me. So it's got to be something that I'm doing to make my uncle do this. I finally end up telling my mom about it, and she dealt with that, and I never had a problem with that again. I don't want to give away the whole.
How old were you? How old were
I would
you
say
when
it first started. When it first started, I could say probably about 6 or 7.
A baby.
And it went on. I remember being around 10 or 11.
Wow.
And then not only that, our border did me the same way. He tried the same things, and then I went right ahead and told my mama about that. And boy, what I do that for? She went and got her gun, and she kicked the middle door in, as she called it, and she shot, but the bullet went through his hat. But thank God she didn't kill nobody. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Thank God she didn't kill nobody, but she wasn't having it, because, see, I just went through that with my uncle.
Right.
So, yeah. And
wow.
Then I found out, so what came in, to make a long story short, all these things were going on in a little girl. I remember once I turned 15, I met a guy 5 years older than me. His father was a pastor of a church, mom the first lady of a church, and he had 2 jobs, and everybody knew him, and my mom was crazy about him, because in this household, I saw some of everything going on in this household, because I found out that my mom, adopted mom, which was my great aunt, she had to do whatever thing necessary to pay the bills and keep a roof over our heads. So I never wanted for nothing. I had everything.
Mm-hmm.
I had food. I had everything that I could want. I just didn't have those 3 words, I love you. Okay? So when I met this guy, she was excited about him. And during our courtship from 15 to 18, I dealt with him with other women. I dealt with different things going on, but I end up marrying him, because this same great aunt, foster mother, she would always keep me in the house, so I couldn't go nowhere. So I wanted to get out with my other girlfriends and stuff like that. So I was like, I'm tired of being in here. I'm just going to, no matter how he's treating me, he got money and stuff. So my mom think he all right, so I'm just going to get married. So we end up having a secret wedding. I didn't know at the time this man was grooming me, because he's way older than I was, and nobody could come to the wedding. It was just me, him, my mom, and another pastor who my mom was committing adultery with. Now, come on.
Wow.
That wasn't going to work out anyway. When an adulterous preacher married me,
so
it always
out of order,
started out wrong.
The head out of order, and he trying to marry somebody else.
Yes.
That don't make no sense.
That don't make no sense.
No sense.
No sense at all. Yeah, so all that stuff started, and from that point on, I continued to hold secrets in that first marriage of the different things this man would do to me, say to me. He would always say, "You ain't nothing. You ain't gonna never be nothing. You fat. Ain't but one good thing, and that's what's between your legs. You know, your job ain't nothing." And I'm saying, in my mind, here I am, 18 years old. What do you expect from me? You've been dating me since I was 15, and this is the man that taught me about birth control, about sex, about drugs, because my mom, she couldn't read and write real good, so she didn't teach me nothing. All during school, I flunked out. I couldn't get it right. I just didn't understand stuff, but they would pass me on through school anyway. Then I was remember being bullied as a little child, then being bullied in middle school, then being picked on in high school. All this going on in a little child, man, y'all, growing
and
up like
that.
Had
to weigh on your self-esteem. So your self-esteem was low. Then you get with this man he's older than you, so that it's kind of like he got the power because he's older than you. He's superior.
Yes.
He's in control, and you're going to do what I say. And, he was running the show.
Yes, he was.
So it's like so that's that abuser mentality.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
We always was moving, and it explains in the book different things I was talking about. But one main point that I want to pull out of this is that because I already had low self-esteem, depression, all that kind of stuff, didn't love myself, never heard the 3 words from me, no parent or no grandparent or no siblings. I had siblings, but I never heard them say, "Gwen, I love you." never heard that. So this man said, I love you. So I'm thinking this is how love is. This is how it's supposed to be. So if he's out there messing with somebody. Huh?
Did he know that nobody never said that to you?
I don't know.
Did
I never shared
that
with
him.
Mm-mm.
No, okay.
I never told him any of this, what I'm saying in the book. I never told him any of this at all.
Okay.
I just
sometimes people like to use what you say against you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You like to play those head games.
Yeah, he played the head games with my weight and telling me how good other women look in my face. So, you know.
Yeah, in the book you go into detail a little bit about some incidents that happened with him and when he's coming and sneaking into the house. And
yes.
He was off the chain. He was off the chain.
He was off the chain.
No kind of respect. Yeah, he didn't have no respect in that.
No respect at all. None whatsoever. And when I caught him coming in, I would ask him, and he just told me. I was looking at the white lady across the street taking a shower, and told me how her body looked, what color her body parts were, her hair and all that was. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I felt hurt, but I felt like I was like, okay, this is how it's supposed to be. This is okay what he's doing. So when he tried it, and every time I turned around, it was about some other woman or whatever, I'm thinking all of this is normal. This man loves me. This is what love is. This is really what love is.
The difference.
Yeah.
You didn't know the difference.
Didn't know the difference.
You didn't have it. Right.
Didn't have it. Did not have it. Yeah.
Yes,
did not have it at all.
Caught up into something like that when you don't know and you're searching and your mind, you thinking, hey, this is what it means. This is what it's all about. At least he's showing me some attention.
Yeah, there you go. Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I can understand that.
Yes, yes, yeah. But
well,
I tell
also
you,
in your book, you go into the different secrets. So you have your childhood secrets that you had. You have
mm-hmm.
your secrets that you had with your husband at the time. In the book, you also talked about some things that you went through as far as depression and mental circumstances
yes.
that you went through because of that trauma.
Yes.
Do you want to talk any about that?
Yes. Because of that trauma, and I'm thinking the whole time, I end up finally getting divorced from him, and I met somebody else, and we end up, it didn't work out. I end up taking him back again, and the next time I took him back, by that time I had two children. And just keep in mind, one particular incident, I was pregnant, and I had what they call toxemia and nosebleed and stuff, and I never will forget, we were leaving our apartment complex, and he drove by a swimming pool, and he says, he picked out a particular white woman and said, this is what I want my wife to look like. And I'm sitting up here with a big old belly, my nose just bleeding in the car. And I'm like, what in the, why is this man doing me like this? Is this love? Yeah, it must be love. So as I continue to grow up in life and finally end up getting away from him and all his abusive ways, I was sexually abused by him as well. And this part wasn't in the book, but sometimes he would even go to a store and buy different types of vegetables and fruit, and he would make me strip down and use these things on me.
Wow.
So I'm thinking, keep in mind, I'm thinking, way back, nobody, I ain't about nothing. See, he put it in my head as I grew, was with him, you ain't nothing, you'll never be nothing, ain't even one good thing. That's between your legs. And so that's where I lived my life. So when I finally got away from all of that, thank you, Jesus, felt free. But then inside I was dead. Inside I hated the ground I walked on. Inside I just felt like I need to die. I want to die. Why am I here? Nobody loved me. Anybody who say they love me, they are doing things to me that's hurting me. This can't be love. And I didn't know nothing about Jesus, period. I knew there was a God, and he made the heaven and the earth. That was it. Then none of I wasn't raised in no church, didn't see no church. Only saw my mom send her dues to the church. Okay? So all of that was built up inside of me. And so, praise God, I met a young man and I met his mama. And she was a sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled woman. And she began to tell me about Jesus. And I saw something in this woman, like she was just so peaceful and had so much joy. And I was like, I told my boyfriend, I said, I don't know what it is, but I want what your mama got. Because, see, I'm searching for peace. And while I'm searching for peace, during all this time, I'm trying to fill a void. I'm doing drugs. I'm doing men's. I'm doing alcohol. All this time, my kids, I never did it in front of them. They were either at my mom's house or they were going to visit their dad. Never wanted them to see me like that. But when I would come down from that high, I still was so depressed, and I would just cry all night long and say, why am I not good enough? What's wrong with me? Why do I hate myself? I'm so fat. I'm so ugly. Ooh, I can't stand myself. And I remember the devil, I know it had to be the devil because God won't tell me to do nothing to hurt myself. He says, pick that fork up. I had this long fork, what you use at the, on with the grill. And he said, just start stabbing yourself and kill yourself because you ain't nothing. You ain't going to never be nothing. You fat. You ain't going to never be nothing. I said, and I was just crying. I remember, like it was today, picking that fork up. And as I raised that fork up to begin to stab myself, something in my ear said, I love you. It was so peaceful.
That was
God.
Oh,
my God.
Amen.
I can't even explain the peace that I felt. And I put that fork down, and I began to praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I began to praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But guess what? It didn't last. Still going through life, became an evangelist. Still, from time to time, that depression would hit. I wouldn't even comb my hair, y'all. I wouldn't even get out the bed or take a bath because that depression and all those voices would come back to me saying, you ain't nothing. You ain't going to never be nothing. Nobody wants you. That's why everybody, man, you go with cuts out on you, has affairs. That's what's going on. You don't deserve to live. And I would go into my shell, and I would go get quiet and get in a corner somewhere. And I found out later on that it caused me to be sick. And I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia syndrome. It's a chronic pain disease where I hurt 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with chronic pain. Sometimes I couldn't even wake up. Side effects was chronic fatigue, memory loss, balance of losing balance. And when I went to a counselor, he said, the stuff that you're going through, this depression, this unforgiveness, all these things, is that's what's making you sick. Because there's no other reason for you to be sick like this.
It was eating you up.
It was eating me up.
All that stress and trauma. Wow.
Yes. Severe stress will cause that. Severe depression, oppression will cause that. And as I stated, from time to time I go to a counselor. From time to time I'm in a church as an evangelist. I'm still out here on the street preaching and teaching and feeling the power of God. And then could come home and be so depressed. And the devil begin to speak to me and say, you can't even preach right. You can't even speak right. You get out here and you see them other women. They went to Bible college. They better than you. You can't even speak right. Yeah.
Wow. See, that's where he likes to get you in your mind. That's where it starts at. If he can just plant a thought and just drag that thought on out.
Yeah.
You got it. Yeah. He starts in your mind.
He starts in your mind.
Do replays. He likes the replay.
Yes, he does.
He loves the replay over and over.
Yes, he loves the replay over and over. Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance.
Thank you, Lord, for deliverance. Ooh. Yeah. And I praise God that then I remarried. I finally remarried the man who his mom was sanctified. I started going out on the streets with her. was around some powerful older women who had me on the altar calling on the name of Jesus to get the strength that I needed. And as I stated, jumping forward a little bit, here I am an evangelist, yet in another marriage, yet in the other marriage, my husband turned his back on God. And when you turn your back on God, you end up doing things you got no business doing. So here it go again, not trying to understand where he's coming from, but hearing those voices again. See, I told you, you fat girl, you ain't nothing. Nobody wants you. Nobody really loves you. You don't even need to be preaching. You need to just sit down somewhere. You don't need to do all these things. But let me tell y'all something. When God came in there for real,
yeah.
When the enemy comes in and he still will come from time to time and try to tell me who I am, I beg to differ. I say, I thank God. I am who God said I am. I am more than a conqueror. I am beautiful. I am anointed. I am powerful. I am who God made me to be. And I say, you are alive from the pits of hell. And I don't care what you throw at me. I say, I'm glad to be hell's most wanted. And every time you throw something at me and I feel that spirit of depression coming, I'm going to pick up the phone and call somebody and witness to them. I say, how you like them?
Amen. That's the key right there. That's the key. Once he try to isolate you and get you in your thoughts and get you stuck and you start thinking about woe is me and thinking about yourself, the best thing to do is reach out to somebody else, encourage them. You gotta encourage somebody else because he wants to bring you back to where you was.
Yes.
But God already delivered you from that. So reach out to somebody else. Talk to somebody. Let them know you can make it. Get out of yourself. Go volunteer somewhere. Go do something else that's not within yourself. Get out the house.
Yes.
He wants to keep you bound and stuck in your mind and your thoughts.
Yeah. He don't want you talking to nobody about it. He don't want you sharing nobody. That's why if you're in an abusive relationship, tell somebody. You need to get out of that thing and go tell somebody. There is help for you. Any kind of abuse. I found out that it wasn't I never had any leaks, no physical leaks,
not
those
the physical,
emotional
that
leaks.
Emotional.
Good God Almighty. That
those
emotional
last
thing.
Way longer than the physical.
Lord, have mercy.
That's psychological.
That's why I said unrevealed secrets can be revealed. It can be revealed.
Ma'am.
Go to God in prayer. If you don't know who God is, go to somebody, get a counselor, whatever you need to do. If you have to do it the rest of your life until you get enough faith to believe that I am what God said I am, you do it. But don't you stay in that thing because you're better than that. You're better than that.
Amen.
You are somebody.
Amen.
You are powerful. You are anointed. God said you can cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. And then when God gave me the scripture, Ecclesiastes 12:14, he said, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Mm. Let me tell you something. It's going to come out.
Amen.
It's going to come out of you physically or mentally or emotionally that you being abused. Somebody going to recognize
gonna
that.
Exposed.
It's
exactly.
going to be exposed.
Amen.
And God said, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I gave my son for you. I died for you. The blood of Jesus covers you. You no longer have to live this way. You are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
I was he had me so messed up in the mind sometimes. I never forget, I was separated from my second husband, and one of the mothers of the church called me and said, I want you to preach on a program, and I want you to preach about marriage. And I'm like, marriage, but I'm separated. How am I going to preach about marriage? Then she told me the other speakers. And when she told me the other two speakers, here come that demon.
Mm.
See, them folk right there, they got followers. You can read their bio. Look at their bio and look at your bio. You can't even touch them folk. Ain't nobody going to listen to you. And I said, you sure right about that. Ain't nobody going to listen to me. I started to pick up the phone and call the mother and say, listen, I can't do this. First of all, I'm separated. How am I going to teach about marriage? The second thing is, I just can't do it. I don't have the qualification to do it. And the Holy Ghost fell on me, and God spoke to me. He said, you preach the way I called you to preach.
Amen.
And I said, yes, sir. And the soldier mounted up and went on, honey, and preached. And let me tell you, how many folks got delivered? Glory to God.
Amen, amen. So you got to step out and do what he tell you to do. Don't
yes,
worry about
don't
what
nobody
else's credentials
yes.
say. Exactly.
Yes.
You are one
yes.
of a kind.
Yes.
Amen.
And my thing was, that in my spirit being depressed and all, I'm thinking I'm not good at who I am, so let me just try to be like somebody else. Honey, you don't have to be like nobody else. Be who you are. God made you just the way you are. If
exactly.
he hadn't want you any
be
other
yourself.
Way, you'd have been another way.
Amen. Be yourself. That's the best way you can be.
Yes. And through all of that,
that way
though,
is more genuine. Mm-hmm.
Yes. There you go. You brought the point out. All that happened to me made me the person I am. So when I see other people that other folks don't want to be bothered with, that's the one I flock to. That's the one I try to get to and encourage them and tell them that they are beautiful and put a fire in their belly and try to pull them and snatch them out the fire, because I know nobody else want to be bothered with them. Them the ones I go for. I get out in the dirt with you, because I was in the dirt. And I know God is able to do all things. I know you can
Amen.
Trust God. And the more you grow in God, the older you get in studying and praying and fasting and getting around strength, people that are powerful that can speak into your spirit and your life, you will learn the things that you need to do, like I learned, call somebody. Every time you come at me, devil, let me go bless somebody. Let me go help somebody.
That's it. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So
that's how you
I
get
told him,
them.
I said, put my picture up down there in hell, because I'm glad to be hell's most wanted.
Right.
Put out your reward, baby. I'm glad to be hell's most wanted. I know you got a reward for my life. I said, but one thing about my life, to be absent from the body, mean I be present with the Lord. So you dummy, what
Amen.
You think about that?
What you think about that? I like that. That's right. That's right. Still winning. How about that?
Still winning. I'm
yes.
a winner. You a winner.
Yes.
You a winner.
Yes.
We're a winner.
Amen.
All we got to do is confess ourselves, sin to the Lord, turn over, get with the Lord, and I tell you, we were winners in the beginning. He knew us before we was in our mother's womb.
Amen, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I want to jump in here. I'm going to let you ladies go back. But
okay.
I'm listening to your story and, you know, reading the book and even watching the movie that you said reminded you of your life, did all of that.
Yeah.
And this is what gets me. I don't want to get off the subject, but this is what and this is why I'm so hard on men, because
okay.
we know, and I'm not talking because all men aren't bad men, but there are a lot of no good men in the church.
Yes.
And we're not going. I'm going to deal with the men in the church. I'm not going to deal with people outside the church. We already know that they deal with an evil spirit. And that's
okay.
why there's a lot of more women in the church than it is men, because men know that women want certain things, so they manipulate them, and then
yes.
they try to control them. And even though it may not be physical abuse, it's mental abuse, because you
yes.
can always get away. And so many women now that I know and see settle, they sell themselves short because they were feeling like you was feeling in the beginning. They never heard certain things before. And
yes.
to me, as man, to see a young lady or a woman, it don't matter what age, and you see that she's thirsty for love, and you take advantage
yes.
of that, that is the most dirtiest type man there is. And you play those mind games with them. And then, this is what really makes me mad, now when men, they want to make excuses for men who do wrong because they didn't have a daddy in their life. But you didn't
yes.
play all these manipulative games with these women, messed them up for years. Some of them committed. They didn't make it as far as you did or other women
yeah.
did. They kept themselves
yeah.
short, all because you wanted to play a game and you want to be a player because you're a punk. And see, I don't want to give no man no excuse for no reason. You know right from wrong. And the scripture that you hit on before, Psalms 130 is 139, that says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your
yes.
works are wonderful. And see, regardless
yes.
of what you're doing, If you are a child of God, your works become wonderful because you can reach other people. I don't care how dirty you get, you're still fearfully and wonderfully made. And see, that's what women need to hear at a very young age. But they get with these young punks, and because they can take them to Applebee's, they think they got the world at their hand. And yet they keep a job, they can't do this, can't do that, but they want to mess with your with females' minds because they know the daddy ain't there. And
then when
you want to come up, they want to say, because my father wasn't here, I'm an abuser, or whatever excuse they use. But yet, I haven't heard you make one excuse for anything that you did. You own what you did.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't like about, because these men sometimes, they a little slick with it. They want to bring up every excuse. And then the mamas want to not put the full responsibility on them. Stop being a punk and be a man. Own up to what you do. And see, this is why I can't speak for women. I can only speak for men. I know men are like this. I know they get these little girls, sit them on their lap, play these little games with them, give them some candy, give them a couple of dollars, and then when they get a little older, they want to abuse them. They've already set the plan out in their head. I'm listening to you, and I'm getting upset because I can't believe there wasn't a man to just pull you to the side and say, you better than that.
Mm-mm, nobody.
All you needed to hear, you better than that.
Mm-mm.
And when you people that are not treating you like a queen that you're supposed to be treated like, there's a difference.
Yes.
I can't abuse my wife physically, mentally.
Thank you, Jesus.
Verbally, I can't do it. I can't even jokingly do it because I know what it can do. I know the trap that it was set. And then by her having girls, you have to see, women have to see kings. Not men, they have to see kings. And if they don't see that, they're willing to accept anything. And then when
you accept
anything, when a woman gives herself to you, you got her.
Yeah.
And whatever you tell her, if she's not a strong, strong woman, she'll fall every time.
Trying to do it.
But when you finally get that awakening and you finally catch it, can't no one stop. And
well,
that's what I'm like.
Man.
I feel the power. No, I feel the power. I feel your fire. And I feel like you're just ready to go right now. You ready to fight right now. You know.
I'm telling you.
I like that.
Even what I can get to.
Excited over here. Right.
Amen.
But I'm on fire right now. But I just wanted to throw that in there because I just want women to know that you are, you're beautiful. I look at my wife, and I can only say this for my wife. She makes me the king.
All right.
And she has the hardest job of it all, because she sends me out in this world prepared. Regardless of how things work out, I'm prepared. Every time I go up, I am prepared. Whether she's mad at me, whatever the situation is, I am prepared. So when people see me being a success, it's 99.9% because of my wife. As long as you got a God-fearing woman, for every man that got a God-fearing woman, you're the reason you're successful. That's the reason.
Yes.
Now, a lot of men will be like, oh, the Bible said we ought to hear. Yeah, the Bible says that there has to be someone. But you also got to be man enough to know when to let the woman take over the driver's side.
Yes.
And a lot of these men don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. That's why you got a lot of sissies in the church, but I'm not going to go there. We're going to keep it with your book.
We are not going to go there. Not tonight.
I just praise God. Even when I meet young men, I have a word for them to let the young men know you don't have to live in abuse yourself. You are handsome. You are a king. God created you. You a leader. You know, I try to encourage those young men as well. And so I just thank God that I didn't have that as I was growing up, but that showed me everything I didn't have. That's what made me want to have extra for the ones that I see that don't have.
Amen.
Because you can see past whatever. Because, you know, we put up facades and we put up faces that we want the world to see. But when the Lord lets you see past that and you're able to reach somebody, that's a great calling.
Yes.
That's a great calling. Because we got a lot of people who, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
I was guilty.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
I wanted to go back. You mentioned how you came and you found the Lord.
Yeah.
And what I like about that situation that you discuss in your book about how when you found the Lord and the things that you went through, and the thing that I learned is, you know, following the Lord, it doesn't mean that you won't face problems. It doesn't mean that, oh, well, I got saved and everything is okay. I'm not going to go
right.
through anything anymore. So mm-hmm. looking at what you went through, it's very encouraging to see you went through all of that and you're still shining. God is still using you. So thank God for that. And I thank God. I know your grandkids and your kids are so overjoyed to just see
yep.
how far you came. So that way they can
yes.
see, look, my grandma, my mom, she made it. I got this. I can do all things. And that's an encouragement
Amen.
For them.
Yes.
So I thank God for that.
I praise God. As I wrote in my book, I thank God for my daughter. She was like, Mom, I'm so proud of you. And my son was like, I'm going to make that book a bestseller. He was getting everybody
Amen.
To buy the book. Get my mom a book. He said, don't Amen. Y'all tell me the secrets now. I don't want to hear nothing about her secret, but get the book. And he even had a young lady. Yeah, he even called me on three-way with a young lady. She said, she was 28 years old, and she said, I love your book. She said, y'all need to be out here promoting that book. She says a lot of young girls that are going through things, they need to hear this and see you. And I said, yes, daughter. I said, I thank you for all of that, and I appreciate what you're saying. And it's a blessing that you are sharing this with me, and that's our goal. When the pandemic get out the way, we'll be able to go out there and promote this book. And but I just praise God. One thing that brought tears to my eyes last week, when my granddaughter, the oldest granddaughter, I read something that she said on her post. She reposted one of my ads about the book, and she said, y'all get this, my grandmama making money move, my grandma off the chain, she is my grandmother is my role model. And I began to weep.
Wow.
And I said, Lord, how in the world am I her role model? And I said, God began to reveal to me, because I always thought a role model meant I had to have houses, cars, lands, and all that. But see, during the time they've been born, they've seen me go through the different affairs. They've seen me go through losing houses, cars. They've seen me at my lowest. And then for her to say I'm her role model, and a friend of mine was telling me, I was talking to her about it, and she said, listen, that's what you are. She said, you're a role model to me. You're a strong woman. She said, they see
Amen.
Everything that you lost, and they saw you rise up out the ashes. A role model don't have to have
and
cars,
that's a
house,
role model.
And land. I said, Lord, that's right. I said, thank you, Jesus. It touched me to my
Amen.
Heart, because I always want my children and grandchildren to see Jesus in me, to know that it's not about having houses, cars, and great big churches and all that you got going. You're going to go through something. It's not about peaches and cream when I turn my life over to Christ, but Christ is there to bring you through it. And when you come through
Amen.
It, praise God, stronger and wiser, as William, as the guy said, stronger and wiser, you'll be a testimony to somebody else. And getting somebody else to know who Jesus is the most important thing to me.
Amen.
It's the most important thing to me. Yes. I told her in my other interview.
Before we forget, I've been asked a question. If they want to get your book now, how would they get your book?
Okay, to get my book now, you'll need to go to payhip.com, which is payhip.com/Gwendolyn Stokes. And those who don't have a PayPal account, I think they say you have to go through PayPal to do it. If you don't, you can cash out me your money and put your email address on the cash out receipt, and I will either order the book for you. If you want the e-book, I'll email you the e-book right away. However, the paperback, because of the pandemic, we just finding a company that's printing my books, and I'm waiting on my printed copy this week to make sure that it's printed up right, and then we're going to send out the orders for everybody else's paperback. But if you want the e-book, I can get that to you right away through your email. You can go on my website online. Huh?
Your Cash App information?
Cash App is $ Holy Ghost Girl without an L. $HOLYGHOSTGIR.
All right.
Yes. Yes.
So go
y'all
get
the book. It's a great read. It's very encouraging. And you might learn something. Like I said earlier in the show, it brought up a lot of different things that I went through personally, and just
yes,
not knowing where things came from.
Yes.
I'm like, wow, okay, that's why this, that's why that. So it's a very good book, and it's very encouraging for those, if you're in a situation and you don't know how to get out of it, get the book. Let
yes.
it encourage
yes.
you.
In that situation, tell somebody. Call
yes.
us. You
yes.
got some
tell, please reach out to somebody.
You know,
yes.
you better don't, you know,
you're better than
you're
that.
Better, you're better than
better
that.
Than
somebody.
That.
Someone will treat you like a queen that you are.
Yes.
You don't sell yourself short. And God made you wonderful, and He made
yes.
you be a queen, not to be taking no licks from no punk.
Yes.
I would say something, but I don't want to lose my minister by that. But that's
yes.
you know, they, I can't stand a man to take advantage of it. It bothers me. It just rips something. It just does something to me. Because
yeah.
You treat a woman right, she'll give you everything you need to succeed. And
yeah.
it's very simple. It's not hard. And,
it's
and,
not hard.
It's
you
not
know what?
Hard.
You know what I tell young men? I tell them, I said, the Bible said a man that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtain favor with the Lord. I said, wouldn't you love some favor from God?
Amen.
Oh, God can give you favor, honey, above anybody else. And when you got God's favor, I said, honey, you got it going on.
Yeah.
Yes,
God will favor even if you're wrong. He will still
yeah.
give you favor. I ain't talking about wrong hitting
he
on
still
woman.
Still give you favor.
Life.
Glory to
he
God. What a mighty God
and,
we serve.
I'm just wanna. I wanna send a shout out to the men. How can you abuse queens like this? I didn't even know. How can you call them out their name? How can you
yeah,
put
yeah.
your hands? How can you put your mouth on them?
The thing is, they're weak. They're weak, and that's the way they don't know how to be real men. That's just weak. Only a weak man can do that. He can act like he's Billy. You know, I was about to say something else. He can act like he's so strong and all of that, but he's weak. He's a coward.
Yeah.
So that's how
yep.
he does it. A coward does that.
Yeah. A coward
a
does
coward.
That.
Because it ain't no real
yeah.
man that's doing that. That's a coward.
I just want to thank you for coming on the show, exhibiting that fire you got. You are a blessing. You are like a ticking time bomb for the Lord. You can explode
praise
at any
God.
Time. That's good. And that's what we need. That's a lot of these girls need. I just hope, and this won't be the last time, but I'm going to have you come on my show, and I got to get with your work schedule. So you're going to have to bring a word or something. We can't just leave you.
I appreciate you so much.
But we appreciate you. We appreciate the opportunity to have you on the show. I just want
unrevealed
women.
Secret.
Unrevealed
huh?
secret. I just want women
secret.
To
that's
know.
That's the name of the book.
Yes. Unrevealed secret.
I just want a lot of women to know that they can do more than what they're doing. They can be authors. They can be.
Yes.
They can be. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be famous. You just have to be a woman. And you just got to know
yes.
how to look to the Lord and listen to the Lord. And I'm going to say
yes.
this, too. I'm not anybody's pastor or nothing like that. But if you're with a joker that's putting his hands on you, you best want to just leave. And I ain't saying you can't pray. But the Lord ain't put you in no position for no man to put his hands on you.
No, he did.
And if they trying to talk that slick talk to you, then I'm just telling you, it's okay to leave. No woman don't need to put the hat of hand put on them, or even be verbally,
emotionally, mm-hmm.
or emotionally.
Yeah. Yes.
And And there's a lot of that going on today.
And
abused by these men and don't know nothing. And I just want to know, when you gonna go on a real date? They don't even know what.
I know that.
And that's sad. And these young men, they don't walk around with these pants half sagged down, and don't know nothing about paying a light bill or water bill.
Yes. Want the good, want the woman to pay it, and get mad when she if she gives him money, don't give him half of it.
We ain't got time for that right now. We got to be on for the next hour, and we got to get out of here. No, but you're striking. But you're right about that. If I had my way, I think every female should go to some type of boot camp with women like you to teach them their value.
Amen.
And let them know that they are worth more than what they're selling themselves for.
Yeah.
They work.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. I'm a man. That's why I let my
wife
take
over.
That works.
That was part of my healing processes, going through things like that with awesome women and men of God who truly love God and love themselves. And when you truly love God and you can truly love yourself, you can truly love your spouse or your mate or your wife or your woman, whatever. But you got to truly love God and then truly love yourself. And through all of my healing, I met different women and different pastors and stuff that was a blessing in my life. And I just thank God for them every day for being in my life. Praise God. Thank y'all so much for the interview.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having you on the show. Before I let my wife close out, I'm going to let her close out. And, Evangelist, I'm going to let you have one last word. I just want everyone to, if you can, get the book, buy the book, support her. We definitely going to have her back. I might do a little bit of preaching or something. But you can tell she's full of the Lord. And she's awesome or something. And I appreciate her for coming on, taking time out. I know she had to get off work and come right and jump right on the radio, so I appreciate that. Also, this is a little program reminder. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m., we have Bishop Omar Zachary, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study team, doing a Bible study at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. So come back to Chaos Radio tomorrow night for Bible study. Also, like I said, we have a lot of things going on throughout the week. Some things will be changing, some adding. Chaos is going up over this last month. I can't even keep up with what's going on, and I apologize. I know I'm a bad host. I apologize. I just can't keep up with it. But we got a lot of great things coming out. I'm on this weight loss thing, started last week, so we'll be updating that. We're updating our fantasy. My sons are running my fantasy football league. So sign up for that. I have more about that. I'll be on Facebook every morning talking about what Chaos is doing. But with that being said, Evangelist, thank you for coming out. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to let my wife take us home. And if you have anything else you want to say, you can go ahead and say it right now, Evangelist.
Okay, I praise God again for you all, and I thank God for the doors that he's opening for you guys. And as my famous word that God got me saying now, we're living our best life.
Amen.
In Jesus until our eternal life. And I thank God and honor my pastor Omar and Lady Zachary and my church family. I love them so much. God sent us up there 3 years ago to be to assist them and to hold his arms up, and I thank God for them. And again, honor my husband, Elder Leroy Stokes. He has a powerful testimony, recovering addict, and God just uses him mightily. And I thank God for everybody, and I hope you guys get the book and just enjoy the book and get blessings and nuggets from it. So your life will be changed, and that'd be good enough for me. If I don't make a dime, as long as I make a disciple, I'll be all right.
Amen.
God bless you.
I like that. right. So I'm going to close it out. I just wanted to give you some final words. Depression is not your final destination. It may be your reality right now, but your journey isn't over. So don't give up. No matter where you've been, what you've been through, or where you think you are headed right now, what's important is that God is with you. He's with you wherever you are. He's with you right now. And people need to know that you do have an important life. You do have a purpose. Your role is vital in the body of Christ. And God did not create you to live a half life. So live your life. Like Benjamin says, live your best life in Christ. And
yes,
it's time to get back to your fight to live. We got to fight to live. Jesus gives us abundant life, full life, overflowing life. So let him just be all that he is, so that way you can get to your purpose, to where he would have you to be in life. So
yes,
if you feel hopeless or you've experienced self-harm or suicidal thoughts, you need to know that there is a God who loves you and has a
yes
purpose for you. And he's with you. So please reach out to somebody that you trust. Don't go just telling your business to anybody. Everybody can't receive your secrets. You have
yes
to trust somebody and
there
let the
go
Lord lead you to that person
yes
that you can reveal that secret to, so that way you can go on your journey and get your help so that the
yes
Lord can use you for his purpose. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your cares on him.
Mm-hmm.
He's waiting. He's available. And all you got to do is step out. You got to do your part in the natural, and the Lord will take it from there.
Yes, he will.
That's it. That's it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank
awesome
you so much for coming on tonight.
All right. I can't wait to meet you, First Lady.
Yes, ma'am. I'll be so excited to meet you, too, because I put a face to the book. Great.
Yes.
Book.
All right, guys. Good night.
So good night. And for everyone listening,
thank
you. We want to thank you and our sponsors, Pizza Hut, Brentwood Publishing, Royal Caribbean Cruise, Finish Line. Just want to say thank you. Thank you for all the listeners that listened tonight. We had another great turnout tonight. You know, when you pack it in like this, I'm almost going to try to get syndicated again. But with that being said, this is Chaos, D&K Bible Break on Chaos Talk Radio with Derek Oliver and my lovely wife, Miss Kay. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. Good night.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You are now tuned into Chaos Radio. Your host, Derek Oliver. Controversial.
Chaos.
And committed.
Chaos.
Spiritual.
Chaos.
For your listening pleasure.
Chaos.